God's good, amen?
Amen.
All right, well, just want to say this, man. Got a whole lot of thoughts going through my mind, a whole lot of things that I feel like the Lord wants me to say. I know He's going to try to, if I can just get out of the way, He'll bring it all together really nicely, you know? I do want to start out with this, man. How many of y'all love the Lord?
Yes.
You know, I mean, like, really love the Lord.
Yes.
All right. Because, man, like, for what we're facing, for the warfare we're facing, for the things that we're called to do and who He's called us to be in this day and in this time, we're going to have to really love the Lord, all right?
Amen.
It's not going to be my love for people that causes me to do what it is that God's created me to do. And I'm not saying that I don't love people, all right? Because God's love is in me, and yeah, I love people, all right? We love because He first loved us. But at the end of the day, you know, when it comes down to it, and what I want to do, and they'll be all right. If God's still wanting me to do something, I do it because I love Him, not because I love anybody else, all right? And when I do it because I love Him, it opens up my life to be a vessel to shine His love for people through me, all right? Because it's not about me loving people. It's about Him loving people through me, right? Come on. But for the things that we're facing, the wickedness, the warfare, the corruption in the land, the oppression, the pushback, the resistance, for the things that we're facing, and really God calls us to rise all the more in the midst of all that. He causes us to raise up the bar in the midst of all that. Amen? Come on. He really calls us to go higher in the midst of all that. All right? Come on. He really does. It's like we want to, well, let me just take it easy and let me just hang back and see what happens. No, this is our time to shine. Yeah. In the midst of gross darkness, that's when this light shines the brightest. I know y'all hear me say that a lot, huh? But because the pushback is so real, because the warfare is so real, and it seems so powerful, if we'll press in anyway, God will manifest Himself and His power all the more. It'll be all the more real to everybody around that sees it, all right? But it's not going to be easy. You're going to have to crucify your flesh all the more. You're going to have to dig in all the more. You're going to have some Holy Ghost grit. Anybody got some Holy Ghost grit in here? Come on. We in the Appalachian Mountains. We got some hillbillies and some rednecks. Come on. Huh? That's all going to be used for the glory of God. Amen? Come on. We won't back up. We won't back down. But we're going to have to love the Lord. Because if we don't love the Lord, there's going to come a time when the rubber meets the road and we're going to want to bail out. And if we're not passionately in love with Him,
yeah, we will.
We will. It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Preached a message last time about, you know, Waco sleeper. God's trying to wake us up. And how we need to be awake when we're out here in our everyday lives. Not just awake, like physically, but awake spiritually to the eternal purpose that God wants us to live for. All right? I know we got to work our jobs. I know we got to take care of our everyday stuff. But are you awake and alive to the real purpose of why God's got you in the midst of all that? Are you trying to be a light in the darkness? Are you seizing every moment and every opportunity to tell people that Jesus loves them and to shine light into the darkness? Because that's the real purpose, and that's the only thing that matters in the end. That's the only thing that makes a difference in the scope of eternity. All right? We got to awake. But God showed me that one of the reasons that we're not awake in our everyday lives is because we're not awake in the prayer closet. Come on, how many of y'all know it starts in a place of prayer?
Yeah.
Amen? Man, and Jesus, he had three people that were closest to Him. He had the 72, He had the 12, and He had the three. And it's not that the three were special, all right? Come on, anybody is as close to Jesus as they want to be. But are you willing to give up what it takes to be in the inner circle? Are you willing to give up what it takes to be in the Holy of Holies, not just the outer court or the inner court? Come on. We can all be there if we want to be, but we got to be willing to give it all. We got to be willing to fall madly in love with Him and be willing to do whatever it takes in the midst of whatever persecution comes our way. Right? Come on. But the three, they got to experience things that the other disciples didn't get to experience. You know, like when Jesus raised the little girl from the dead, He only took James, John, and Peter with Him. Right? When He went up on the mountain of transfiguration, who'd He take? James, John, and Peter. And what happened when they were up there? And the mountain represents the place of prayer. It says that they fell asleep. Come on, they're asleep in the most important place to be awake. And if you're not awake there, you're probably not going to be awake to the real purpose of why He's got you doing the things that you're doing every single day. Amen? Come on, and it's hard to climb that mountain. The Bible says, who will ascend the hill of the Lord? Only those with clean hands and pure hearts. Anybody ever gone on a mountain climb? It ain't easy. And it's not easy in the spirit either. And you can't just take everything you want to take with you. You can't take your car. You can't take your house. You can't take all them friends that ain't willing to give something up to go up the mountain as well. All right? But when you get up to the top, no wonder they were tired. No wonder they wanted to go to sleep. Hard climb. Yeah. And it's the same thing in prayer. Like when we're digging into prayer and we're pushing through all the oppression and all the warfare that's trying to make sure that we don't make a connection with God, it gets tiring. But if we'll do it and push through and get to that place and not be asleep in that moment, we'll see some great things take place and we'll tap into heaven, and we won't just tap into heaven when we're there, but we'll bring a little bit of heaven back with us when we come back down. And that's what we got to do. And then we'll be awake to all the opportunities that God has given us in our everyday lives. Does that make sense? Like they were asleep in the garden when Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross in his final moments, in his finest hour, right? When the light was going to shine at the greatest point that the, you know, it's split time. Everybody talks about it. The cross. There were so many crucifixions in that day and that time. But why was Jesus the one that stands out throughout all time? Huh? Come on, because that was when the light was shining in the darkness. Yeah. The most, right? But he's in the garden and we get a glimpse into Jesus' prayer life. Yeah. Who's he take with him? He leaves the other nine somewhere else. He says, James, John, and Peter. Come with me. You all stay here. I'm going to go and pray. But James, John, and Peter, I want you to come pray with me. Where's the people that are in the holy place? Where's the people that are going to be the prayer warriors? Where's the people that are going to be the intercessors? And listen, I'm preaching to myself too. Where's the people that will really dig in and win it in the spirit realm in order to see it unfold in the natural realm? Because how many of y'all know if we don't win it in the spirit, we can bang our heads off the wall all day in the natural realm and nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. We got to win it in the spirit realm. But he takes James, John, and Peter. He says, y'all come pray with me. Okay? He says, stand here and watch. I'm going to go pray. And we get a little glimpse into Jesus' prayer life. And he's saying, God, if there's any other way. Yeah. Anybody ever had a prayer life like that? Yeah. I don't want to do what my flesh don't want to do, what you want me to do. Right? If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me. But not my will be done, thy will be done. Then he goes back. What's he find? James, John, and Peter, they sleep. Come on. In the place of prayer. In the place where it counts the most, man. It counts the most now. The hour is upon us. Darkness is coming in quick. The enemy is coming in like a flood. It's time for the Spirit of the Lord to raise up the standard. And he does that through us. In the prayer place is the beginning point. All right? Come on. They're asleep. And he says, could you not pray with me, watch with me for 1 hour. In other words, the hour's come. The time's come. Huh? For the light to shine the most, for the love to be released at its greatest capacity. The hour's come and you're not even able to watch. You're asleep in the place where it really counts. He leaves and comes back again. They sleep again. Gone. He does it 3 times. He's like, all right, just go ahead and get your rest. For the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. But what's he tell him? He says, stay awake and pray so you won't fall into temptation. What's the temptation that he's talking about? He knows that he's getting ready to go to the cross and there's going to be a temptation for them to scatter and flee if they're not in the place of prayer. All right? There's going to be a temptation for them to tuck tail and run, for them to go the other way when the rubber meets the road, when things get the hardest. If we're not tapped in the place of prayer, we will go the other way. If we're not passionately in love with Jesus, when the rubber meets the road, we might not make it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Come on, that's the temptation that he was talking about. There was no other temptation that was getting ready to come.
Yeah.
Man. And it seems like the enemy was even tempting Jesus, his flesh. Oh, if there's any other way. Well, obviously there's something telling him, hey, man, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And that lets you see that Jesus has his own will that could have been separate from the Father's will. He said, no, I'm not going to follow my own will. I want your will to be done. Right? I got this scripture in John 14. This is kind of just what God brought to my mind. I think it's in verse 30, John 14, 30. Jesus says this. Says, I don't have much more time to talk because the ruler of this world approaches. He has no power over me. Come on, how many of y'all know he has no power over you?
Amen. Come on.
All right? But he still calls him a ruler of this world. Man, that's something to read into. I'm not going to get in that rabbit trail. All right? He has no power over me. In other words, the world is ruled by something that I'm not ruled by.
Yeah, come on.
I'm ruled by another kingdom. I'm ruled by something greater. I submit and bow down to the King of all creation, not the King of this world. All right? Does that make sense? He has no power over me, but I will do what the Father requires. Why? So that the world will know that I love the Father. He didn't say, I'll do what the Father requires of me to show the world that the Father loves them. No, I'm going to do what is required of me to show the world that I love the Father. Come on, so many times we get it backwards. We're out here and we're trying to show people that God loves them. Yeah. Like God already showed them that He loves them through the cross. Yeah, they need to see how much you love Him.
Yeah.
All right? Come on, and when they see you passionately in love with Him, yeah, it's going to make them catch a revelation of how much He loved them, because that's how His love for them works through you. Listen, there's times that, like, people just get on my nerves, all right? Let's be honest, guys. Sometimes I'm not doing it because I love people or I want them to know how much God loves them. Sometimes the only reason I do it is because I love Him. Right?
Yeah,
right? And if we're not, and He says, I will do what the Father has required of me. Why? Not because I love them. Not because they love me. But because I love the Father.
Yeah.
And when I do it because I love the Father, it opens up my life to be the vessel and the channel for His love to pour out through me to show them how much He loves them.
Yeah.
Come on, let's not get it backwards. Let's not get it backwards, because if we put the cart before the horse, we might buckle in the finest hours. All right? In the time when it's our time to let the light shine the most. Come on. I do it because I love Him, man.
Yeah.
And listen, some people are just good people. Some people just love everybody. Like, when I was lost, I'm not good. The only thing good about me is Jesus.
Yeah.
All right? The only reason I love others is because He loved me.
Yeah.
And I want everybody to experience His love for them. Because I've experienced it, and it's the greatest thing ever. And yes, He gives me His heart for people. Like, yes, I love people way more than I used to, but at the end of the day, sometimes I still get frustrated. Sometimes the flesh still gets the best of me. And at the end of the day, sometimes the only reason I do is because I love Him.
Yeah.
He said, and that's what Jesus says. I'll do what's required of me, not because I love people, because I love the Father.
Yeah.
And when they see how much I'm in love with Him, that I'm willing to die. And what was required? Death.
Yeah. Yeah.
The cross. Come on, and just like they put Jesus on the cross, they're going to try to put the body of Christ on the cross. And if you're not passionately in love with Him in this day and this time that we're living in, you might fall to the temptation to tuck tail and run. If you're not connected in that place of prayer now more than ever, you might fall to the temptation to tuck tail. And this is stuff that God is preaching to me. And listen, I said it at my home church. Seems like God just gives me tough messages to preach, and I just got to be the bearer of bad news. Listen, I don't even want to preach stuff like this, but He knows I'll do it.
Amen.
All right? He knows I'll do it. And I don't even like it when He preaches it to me, because it steps on my toes too. All right? It hurts the feelings of my flesh as well, but I know that we're called for something greater. I know that we were born for such a time as this. I know that nothing else is going to satisfy. Nothing else is going to fulfill. I must complete the work the Lord Jesus has given me, and I must do it because I love Him. That's the only way that it'll actually happen. That's the only way that I'll push through and see the finish line is my love for Him. And we love because He first loved us. Amen? Come on. Come on, are you passionately in love with Him? Now I want to get to this. Do you got your mind made up? Because listen, some people are still wavering between two opinions.
Yep.
Come on, like Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Baal be God, serve Baal. But if God be God, serve Him. Why do you keep wavering between two opinions?
Yep.
Why do you keep straddling the fence? Why are you still lukewarm? Come on. Huh? Out of all the things that are going on right now, how can you not see that the Bible is unfolding right before us? Huh? Come on. Out of all the times that God has been there for you, there was nights that I lived and I should have died. How can I not give Him everything that I got? Come on. May the blinders be removed today. May the scales fall off of eyes today. May you see clearly what it is you're really here for and what you're meant for today. And may you recklessly abandon everything that the world has to offer and everything that your flesh wants. And may you give it all for the cause of Jesus Christ, because there's nothing greater to live for. Nothing. Have you made your mind up yet? I'm determined.
Yeah.
I can't do anything else in my life.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, just to be honest, like, I don't even like to say this, it sounds crazy. I really feel like God, eventually one day, I'm going to give my life for the gospel.
Yeah.
I'm going to die.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling people about Jesus. Mm-hmm. But guess what? Death, where is your sting? Death has no hold on me. Woo! This life is not the only life. Yeah. We got a heavenly home that we're going to be in. All right? Matter of fact, that home is going to come and take over here one day.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus knew. I don't want to go die this physical death, but I'll do it because I know this ain't the end.
Yeah, come on.
Woo! Do you really believe it? Is your mind made up? Because he's going to put some of us, there's people in this room, he's going to put in some crazy shit. I hate to break the news to you. That's how he broke it to me, man.
Yeah.
And I don't know how soon it's going to be, but you can see. Come on, you'll be dragged before courts. I've been saying it. I know some people get sick. You'll be dragged before courts. You'll be persecuted. I mean, how can we get dragged before courts unless there's a governmental system that comes against the church? Looks like it's going that direction to me.
Amen.
You know? But I will not back up. I will not back down. I will stand on the truth. All right, Isaiah 50. This is what Isaiah says. Starting at verse 6. I offered my back to those who beat me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. Doesn't sound like anything I want to do or my flesh wants to do, right? How many of y'all know this prophetically speaks into the life of Jesus and the life of the body of Christ? It all lines up. I offer my back to those who beat me and my cheeks to those who pulled out my beard. I did not hide my face from mockery or spitting. Because the sovereign Lord helps me, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a stone. Come on. Y'all understand what that means? In other words, I've made up my mind and I'm not backing down.
Yeah.
I have set my face as a flint, is what other translations say. Flint is a stone, all right? I have set my face as a stone, determined to do his will. I'm determined. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing down. I don't care if they beat me. I don't care if they mock me. I don't care if they pull out my beard. I know that this life is not the only life and something greater is coming. And listen, when you start living for something greater, the enemy has no other choice but to try to take you out, because he knows if that starts to rub off on everybody around you, his kingdom is in trouble.
Yeah, come on.
Because if everybody starts living for that, my goodness, what's he going to do? Right? I am determined to do his will, and I know that I will not be put to shame. Set my face like a flint. Set my face like a stone. You know what they used flint for in the Old Testament? They used flint knives to circumcise. What's circumcise? Cutting away of the flesh. Dying to the flesh. And it's not just a cutting away of the flesh in any area of your body, but it's the most sensitive area of your body. Huh? That can bring you the most pleasure or bring you the most pain. Will you let the Holy Spirit cut away the things of the flesh that are in the most sensitive areas of your life that can bring you the most pleasure, the most? Will you surrender those? Because it's easy to surrender all the other areas. But when it comes to that area, when it comes to that issue, when it comes to that problem, I think I'm going to hold on to it, deal with it myself. But if you don't learn how to surrender that area to God, that's the exact area that the enemy will exploit. Yeah. And find a crack in your armor to work his way in and mess you up. Come on. But it says he set his face like a flint. In other words, I've already allowed my life to be circumcised to the point to where I'm not going back down. Now God's using me as a flint knife to circumcise a generation. Now God's using me to help cut away the flesh from other people. Come on, anybody want to set their face as a stone? Come on, how many of y'all know? Listen, and another thing that flint was used for is to start a fire.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. The friction, right? Come on, whatever it is, the resistance that comes on it, flint can start a fire. That's what you start a fire with. How many of y'all know we need to see a purifying fire come and burn away the things of the flesh so we can really be pure and be who God has created us to be and get to the point to where we got our minds made up and we won't back up, we won't back down. It doesn't matter what comes our way. If you allow him to circumcise you, if you allow him to start a fire in you, he'll use you to circumcise others and start a fire in your community that the enemy can't put out. And people are longing for it, man. That's what they're built for. That's what they're created for. They may not know it. They may not realize it yet. And that's why they're still looking for love in all the wrong places and trying to find peace in all the wrong things. And that's why that junk still never satisfies them, is because there's meant for so much more. Yeah. And if they see how much you love the Father and how much you're willing to do whatever the Father requires of you because you're just passionately in love with Him, and they see you not backing up and not backing down, it sparks something on the inside of them that they're really meant for. It brings their destiny to life. It brings who they are to the surface.
Yes.
Cuts through all the junk. Cuts through all the mess. So they can see what it is that they're really created. So they can fall in love with Him too. Amen. I mean, what is it that you... Because we're all giving our lives for something, right? What are you giving your life for, man? Your business, your career? I mean, I hope God blesses it, but if you ain't giving your life for Jesus and that thing's got you, you won't even use that for the right reasons. Huh? Sell out to Him, man. Give Him all you got. I have set my face as a flint. Now, this lines up with the scripture in Luke chapter 9 where Jesus says... Luke 9:51 says, "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for Him to be received up, the hour is upon us." Just like the hour was upon Jesus, the hour is upon the body of Christ. Okay? "Now it came to pass, when the time had come for Him to be received up, that He steadfastly set His face toward Jerusalem." Woo! In other words, my mind's made up. And guess what? Jerusalem. He knew Jerusalem was where He was going to die.
Yeah. Amen.
All right? But His mind was made up. I set my face as a flint. And guess what? The greatest fire that could have ever been sparked came from it. The Holy Ghost came from it. Acts chapter 2 came from it, because He chose to be the flint that started the fire. Because He chose to be the flint that would circumcise anyone who would receive Him as Lord. Amen? Come on. The greatest fire started. He set His face towards Jerusalem. But what's your Jerusalem? Huh? What is it that God's calling you to go into? What is it that God's called you to take on that you'll have to say, "All right, I'm going to give up the things of the flesh. I'm going to give up the things of the world. I'm going to make my mind up. I'm not backing up. I'm not backing down." Because we all got a Jerusalem. We all got a thing that we got to focus on and set our face toward and get our mind made up when it comes to the will of the Lord for our lives.
Yeah.
And yes, your flesh is going to have to die. But you don't kill it. You just trust Him. You just submit to Him. You just bow down to Him. And He burns it all away. To where you don't want it anyway.
Amen.
To where you realize that stuff's never going to satisfy. I have to do what it is, the Lord. You fall in love with Him. And I'm not trying to show anybody how much God loves them. I'm just here to show everybody how much I love the Lord. And I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Come on, how many of y'all do whatever it takes? How many of y'all got kids and you love them? You do anything for them. I know I would jump in harm's way to get them out of harm's way. Apply, relate it. Acts chapter 20. And listen, this is my life scripture right here. And I've always said that this is my life scripture, but I never really took heed to the context that it was around. Okay? Acts 20 and 24, Paul says, "My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to complete the work the Lord Jesus gave me." All right? Come on, if you do anything else with your life, you might have fun, you might have good times, you might make memories, but if you ain't doing what the Lord put you here to do, it'll all mean nothing in the end, and you'll have some regrets. You'll wish you did something else, because it won't fulfill, it won't satisfy. It's not what you're meant for. But listen to the context that it's around. Starting in verse 22, it says, "Now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem." So just like Jesus set His face toward Jerusalem, Paul's setting His face toward Jerusalem. And He knows. He's telling them, "I know I'm not coming back. I know this is where I'm going to die." All right? "And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem, and I don't know what awaits me except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that there will be jail and suffering that lie ahead." Come on. Listen, how many of us can actually be so tapped into that secret place that God can tell us, "Hey, I'm going to send you here, and yeah, it's going to hurt. Yeah, you're going to suffer. Yeah, you're going to go to jail." And we'd be like, "Okay." A lot of us hear that and we'd be like, "Get behind me, Satan. What are you talking about? Jesus. That ain't God's will for my life." Come on, this patty cake Jesus. Like, I don't know what Bible people read. I don't know why I used to think that.
Yeah, come on.
You know what I mean? Because it's not in here. Yes, God wants to bless you. But His definition of blessing is totally different than our worldly version of it.
Come on, yes.
Right? It is. There'll be jail and suffering that lie ahead, but my life is worth nothing to me. I got to do it.
Yeah.
I have to go. I know He's telling me that I'm probably going to die, but I got to go anyway.
Amen.
My life is worth nothing to me unless I use it to finish the work assigned to me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God.
Yeah.
Jesus set His face toward Jerusalem. Paul set His face toward Jerusalem, and they knew that they were going to die. How many of y'all know there's a new Jerusalem?
Come on. Yes.
And that's what we got to set our face toward.
Come on.
We know that this world is not our home. We know that there's something greater coming. We're so in love with Jesus. We're so in love with the Father that none of this down here matters. And until we see our heavenly home come down here, we're not going to be satisfied. Because that's the whole reason we're created. Come on, let me give you a few scriptures right here. Revelation 21, 1 through 4, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem." How many will set their face toward the new Jerusalem this morning and do whatever it takes to see heaven come down?
Come on.
Huh? Come on. The new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes and there will be no more death." Woo! Or sorrow, or crying, or pain. All these things will be gone forever. You got to know that death doesn't have the last laugh, y'all.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Death is not the end. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. All these things will be gone forever. But what do we got to do? We got to set our face toward the new Jerusalem. We got to get our minds made up right now more than ever. Because I'm telling you, the enemy is coming against the church. The enemy is coming against the bride of Christ. You might not see it. It's deceptive. It's subtle. On the surface, it looks like we're the bad guy. But those who are real know what's really going on. Those who are tapped in, those who aren't falling asleep in the sick, man, I'm preaching my own sermon. Lord, help me stay awake in the place of prayer. Come on, I said this last time I was here, and it's just because the oppression is so much realer now, because it seems like the enemy really has the government now, which gives him legal access to oppress us all the more. There's a reason he wants the government, all right? But I'm telling you, here lately, it's just that much harder to make a connection in the prayer closet. It's that much harder to get something out of the Word when I read it. It's that much harder to engage in worship and get into the flow of the Spirit. It's that much harder to do it. It's not that it's a season. It's just the oppression is all the more real because of the things that have gone on in this nation.
Yeah.
All right? And this is the new normal. But guess what? It's going to cause you to rise and be who God has created you to be. Come on, you never get no bigger in the weight room unless you put some weight on the bar and start lifting.
Yeah.
How many of y'all know there's a weight to His glory as well? Anybody want to see the weight of His glory?
Glory, yes.
The hard times are preparing you for the weight of glory. It's just practice. If you'll not back up, if you'll set your face, if you'll get your mind made up, the weight of His glory will shine through you and outweigh all the heaviness of spiritual warfare around. That's a word right there, man. I don't even know what I'm saying. This is Jesus talking, it's not me. The weight of glory. It's come. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining, in other words, it's hard. I got to press through. And the enemy was trying to take him out. Because how many of y'all know Paul gave the kingdom of hell a headache every day?
Yeah,
come on. Come on. That's what I want to be said about my life.
Yeah, come on.
devil on the testimony stand. That guy gave me a headache every day. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Well, what's ahead? I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. That's a direction. Heavenward. Well, what's New Jerusalem? All right? New Jerusalem, heavenward, in Christ Jesus. He was focused not on the actual Jerusalem, even though the Spirit had bound him to go to Jerusalem to be a witness, but that was the only reason he did that, because he was focused on something greater than that. Set your face. Get your mind made up. I'm not going to say it's my last scripture, but I want to. Every time I say that, it ain't. John 17. You was in John 17 the other day, right? Listen to what Jesus says. You got to read into the little things, y'all. Jesus didn't get crucified till John 19. But listen to what he says in John 17. It says, John 17, verse 4. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. What do you mean completing? You haven't even gone to the cross yet. It's not even done yet. You haven't even completed it yet. How can you say in your prayer closet to God, I've brought glory to you by completing what it is that you put me here to do? He hadn't even done it yet. Well, that tells me that in his heart and in his mind, it was already done. He had his mind made up. Huh? Will you get your mind made up? Will you set your face as a flint? Will you set your face toward the New Jerusalem? Will you not back down? Will you not back up? Will you fall so passionately in love with Him that when the temptation comes to tuck, tail, and run, you stand?
Yeah.
Nothing else is going to satisfy me. Nothing else. And nothing else is going to satisfy you either. Might as well just face it. And it'll all be worth it in the end. All those things will be gone forever. 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 And when people see how passionately in love we are with the Father, it's going to wake something up on the inside of you to step into that same thing. That's, oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. You want to see Him come down? Let's fall so passionately in love with Him that we'll do whatever, wherever, whenever, in the face of whoever. Come on. Get your mind made up. I don't even like preaching stuff like this because I got a 17-year-old daughter. I got a 7-year-old daughter. It's like, oh, I got to teach these kids to die for their faith. Mm-hmm. What greater thing could they really live for, though? You know what I mean?
What better way to go?
My goodness. Oh, you just wasted your life. They could have done so much with their life. They could have had a business. They could have had a job. And I'm not saying that God won't give them that and they shouldn't pursue that if that's God's will for their life. But if that's all they're doing, it's not going to amount to nothing in the end. If they're not giving it all for the cause of Jesus, then all that stuff means nothing. We gotta, and listen, it's what they're born for. God didn't give us our kids to just, you know what I'm saying? That's what He gave them to us for. To raise them up to be warriors. Bring heaven down. And they'll do it in a greater way than He ever used us to do.
Yes.
Because the body of Christ goes from glory to glory and faith to faith. If we understand what's really going on and we pass the torch the right way. Come on. Woo! I'll just give y'all a couple more scriptures real quick.
Yeah.
I knew it wouldn't be my last scripture. But Hebrews 11, 12, and 13. Mm-hmm. It's all focused on New Jerusalem. Yep. Something greater. All right? Says that Jesus, because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross. He wasn't focused on the cross. He saw past the cross. And that's how we do the same thing. Huh? We keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, right? If you go on down, which chapter is it? Yeah. That's like the hall of faith.
Yeah.
All right, you go on down to 13 through 16. It says, all these people, He's talking about Abraham, He's talking about Gideon, He's talking about all the people that lived the life of faith, right? All these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Come on, you do not belong to this world.
Hallelujah.
All right? This is not your home. The way it is right now, it anyways. Foreigners and nomads here on earth. obviously people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. That's why they live the lives that they live. That's why they ended up in the chapter that we called the Hall of Faith. Because they were setting their face towards something greater. Their minds were made up. Their hearts were sure in their relationship and their love for God. Come on. Man. If they had longed for a country they had come from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has a prepared a city for them. Woo! Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because of the joy awaiting Him, He endured the cross. Think of all the hostility He endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in the struggle against sin. The struggle against sin. Now, that doesn't mean the struggle against drugs and alcohol. You know what sin means? It means to miss the mark. What's the mark? New Jerusalem. What's the mark? Become like Jesus. The mark is God's purpose for your life. There's so many people that aren't caught up in drugs, that aren't caught up in alcohol, that aren't caught up in ungodly, wicked things in the world, but they're still not living out their destiny. So in God's eyes, they're missing the mark. Don't miss the mark. 1 Peter 4:1, it says, "So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourselves with the same attitude." Oh, we miss that. That's not, we glaze right over that. That's not God's will for me. It says it. Arm yourself with the same attitude to suffer for Christ. I don't like preaching this stuff, guys. But I'll do it. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You have finished with missing the mark. Right? You're going to do whatever it takes to do what God's put you here to do. Let me back up. Philippians 3, 10 through 11. I read 13 through 14. It says, Paul says, "I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead." Yeah, come on. Then he says, we all quote that part, "I want to experience the power that raised Him from the dead." Then listen to what it says, because this comes right along with it. "I want to suffer with Him, sharing in His death, so that one way or another I will experience the resurrection of the dead." Come on, I don't want to just experience the power of resurrection while I'm alive. I want to be raised from the dead. Yeah, come on. I want to be raised up on that last day. Come on. This is my last scripture, okay? Hebrews 13, 11 through 14. It says, "Under the old system, the high priests brought the blood of animals into the most holy place as a sacrifice for sin, and the bodies of the animals were burned outside the camp. So also Jesus suffered and died outside the city gates to make His people holy by means of His own blood. So let us go out to Him outside the camp and bear the disgrace He bore. For this world is not our permanent home. We are looking forward to a home yet to come." Why do we do it? Because we love Him and we know that there's something greater coming. Okay? Come on. Listen, I'm just trying to help y'all get ready. The Bible says that John the Baptist prepared the way for the coming of Jesus. Well, there's the John the Baptist generation that's going to prepare the way for the second coming of Jesus. What's that look like? It's preparing you to stand up under wickedness and persecution and not back up and back down and still speak truth and still shine light and love for what it really is and not what the world wants it to be. Come on. That's how He comes, man. That's what provokes Him to come. Anybody want to be ready for that?
Yeah.
Come on. Anybody want to live for something greater? Get your mind made up today.
Yes.
Get your mind made up.